Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glad to be out to the house of the Lord tonight. Seems like this is a fired up crowd tonight. Excited about serving the Lord. I'm excited about serving the Lord tonight too. I'm glad to say I'm converted and sanctified. I'm thankful to hear all the great reports of what is going on in our church. The unity, the love, the forgiveness, all the things that Jesus calls us to do, we're doing. We're ready to help a hurting and broken world. And I'm just so thankful to be a part of what God is doing through Christ's sanctified Holy Church. It's a blessing and a privilege. It's a privilege to be here worshiping with each of you in Greensboro tonight. And pray that God would bless His Word. Ask that you pray for the Word, that it would go out. We know that the Word, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, can bring healing to people. One of the main things that Jesus went about, he went about doing good. And said He went about healing all that were oppressed by the devil.
That's right.
Doesn't matter how you're oppressed by the devil. You may be bound by sin. Jesus is a healer. You may need sanctification. Jesus is a healer. But you may have trouble in your physical body. Jesus is a healer tonight.
That's right.
You may have emotional hurt. Jesus is still a healer. We can take all of our needs and concerns. He cares about every aspect of our life. We tend to compartmentalize the things that God can do for us and say, well, you know, we can just get blessings in a church service. Or when I come down to an altar and God will bless me with sanctification, and then as I go through trials and tribulations, we wonder, where is God? Well, He's right there. He's right there. He's an ever-present help in a time of trouble. And so we just have to call on Him and forget not all of His benefits. So many things that He wants to do for His people. But if you just give the little that you have, the brother preached so well on that this morning. Just give the little bit that you have to God, and He will take that and He will multiply it. And it won't just be that He just answers your a prayer request. He will do exceedingly, abundantly above all that you can ask or think, according to the power that works in each one of us that have the Holy Spirit in us. So He can do so much more if you'll just ask it or think it and pray it. In fact, in Mark He said, if you'll say, speak it. If you'll say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast in the sea, and not doubt in your heart, you shall have whatever you say. There's more that God has for His people. There's an abundance that He has for His people. There's great things that He wants to do in the spiritual realm for us. And I'm just convinced the more I read, the more I feel like God wants to bless His people. And He wants us to move forward to greater heights. And He has so much that He has for us collectively as a church. And He has so much that He has for you. And you may feel like you have a need tonight that is not met. Well, God can meet that need. In the meantime, He can give you peace of mind that God is moving behind the scenes and answering prayer. It's just like in the book of Daniel in the 10th chapter, when Daniel began to pray, as soon as he began to pray because he needed the deliverance, he needed the words of God to come to him to understand the vision. Immediately as he began to pray, God dispatched an angel. And yet the angel, he said, was upheld for 21 days. But it was just a delay. But they said, and then God sent Michael the archangel and finished the job. So we may pray and say, well, where is God? What is happening? Do you know, as soon as you begin to pray, or even before you begin to speak and begin to think about the things you need to pray about, God begins moving behind the scenes if we believe and don't doubt in our heart, according to the book of Mark. If you will say to this mountain, be thou removed, and cast into the sea, and then not doubt in your heart, then you shall have whatever you say. And so Daniel began to pray in faith. As soon as he began to pray, God began moving. As soon as you begin to pray tonight about your situation, and begin to believe in faith that you can take the loaves and the fishes, you can take the little bit of oil that you have, the little bit a meal that you had, you can take whatever you have in your possession tonight and give it to God. As soon as you're able to do that, God begins to immediately change your situation. Right. Immediately.
Right. Yes, He does.
He dispatches angels. He moves behind the scenes. But we are wrestling in spiritual warfare tonight. The enemy's working too. They said that it contended with the prince of Persia for 21 days in the book of Daniel in the 10th chapter. And so the enemy's working too. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle. We wrestle against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness and high places, all these things. The first thing we have to understand is that we are in a battle. If you don't believe you're in a battle, you're not going to engage in spiritual warfare. But the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they are mighty to the, you know, the, through God to the casting, pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, bringing everything in captivity, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I'm glad there's Bible readers here. You can help me with these verses. And we know that God is able. He's able to pull down these strongholds. He's able to do this and to cast down imagination so every thought can be brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And He can move in situations if we'll just reach out to Him. As the scriptures say, you have not because you ask not. And so let's start asking. Asking not just for small things, asking for big things. Asking God to move in your situation and in your life. I'd like to read a few verses tonight in the book of 1 Samuel, starting reading the 16th chapter and then reading on to the 17th chapter. Again, these are familiar scriptures, David and Goliath. And this was a literal battle they had to fight. But we are in spiritual warfare tonight. And I'm glad to see that we're gaining ground for the Lord. You can gain ground for the Lord individually, but you're going to have to face Goliath, and it's going to be in the valley. And are you ready to face Goliath in your life? The Goliath is standing there shouting from day to day. These are sometimes uncomfortable things to think about. But we all, once we come to the knowledge of God and come to the Lord, we all face trials. We all face tribulations. We all have weaknesses. We all have strengths. And we have to acknowledge that as we move through our spiritual walk, there's an enemy there. He's going about as a roaring lion. And in your dark times, in times where you feel distressed, he's there shouting every day that you're not going to make it. You're not going to be able to overcome. And he tries to amplify your weaknesses or the areas that you're struggling in and say, because he's the accuser of the brethren. But thankful it said in Revelation that he is cast down. But he'll be there day and night until we learn how to face the devil head on. It does say that if you resist the devil, he will flee. And so we have to learn what are these weapons of warfare that I can use in the spiritual realm to resist him. But yet many people I find are hiding in a corner of their room, hiding out saying, well, maybe Goliath won't be there today. Maybe the devil will just go away. Maybe my problem will just go away. And then we deal with these infirmities as that man by that pool of Bethesda did. He said, I believe it was 38 years he dealt with this. But when Jesus came along the scene, he had dealt with the problem for a long time. You may have something that you have dealt with that you've never shared with anybody. Something behind the scenes, something that plagues you from day to day, something that you don't want in your life, that the Goliath is shouting this in your face every day. And these are the difficult things that we have to deal with. And that the enemy would say, you'll never get victory in that area of your life. You may have victories over here and over there, but this problem that's been plaguing you, you'll never gain ground in that area. And we feel, because it may be where he's attacking us in our weak areas, that we feel like sometimes agreeing with the enemy, well, I may just be prone to be weak over here, and I'll never gain the victory, just like he said. And Goliath begins shouting these things from day to day, just like we're going to read in this story here in the literal sense. He begins to do that in our mind, and we begin to think, well, maybe victories for that brother and the sister. I see that they're so strong. They come out to church. They seem to have a victorious testimony, but I don't feel that joy anymore. I don't feel that victory. And you think, well, that's maybe for somebody else. No, the victory is for you. You. God has great things for you tonight. He wants to break the chains in your life. He wants to loose these things in your life. He wants you to live an overcoming, victorious life. And if the enemy has been plaguing you, he wants you to learn how to resist the devil so that he will flee in your life. So you can have the victory God has for you. But until you learn how to face Goliath in the valley, to face him in the valley, you're never going to reach the mountaintop experience. And here we find that someone from the Israelite army had to step out and face Goliath in the valley. Somebody had to take a step out. The army of the Israelites, they were scared. They were very scared and fearful. And the Philistines, they had great strength because they had this champion, Goliath, that would come out from day to day and cry out and mock the Israelites and mock the living God. And this is what the enemy will do. He's the accuser of the brethren. He'll do this from day to day. But God can give us victory in our lives. But you have to face this head on. Those things that are plaguing you, you've got to deal with it head on. And even if you don't feel in your emotions that you're gaining ground, At some point, you've got to take a hold of the Word of God by faith alone and say, I believe what Jesus said, that the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent just take it by force. You may not feel anything. You may feel like the enemy's got ground. He's gained something from you. And, you know, you can give a simple analogy. You know, if I've got something, a spiritual blessing that's mine, and this book is an example of that. And let's hold this for a second, Brother Brian. And the enemy, and Brian does not represent the enemy in this analogy. It's just the enemy's holding something that is mine. And from day to day, I can pray very passively, Lord, I just pray that I'll gain ground today. I pray that I'll get better, greater victory. And you go about and nothing changes from day to day. Nothing changes. And so you're like, well, maybe tomorrow's my day of victory. And you pray, Lord, I just pray if it be in your will, perhaps that you could help me to gain some ground in this area of my life. And days go by. And years go by. And we pray the same prayer. And we realize that God is calling us to take authority in His Word.
Right.
And say, I don't have to passively ask for this anymore. Jesus wants me to have this, but He wants me to have faith. And so today, the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent take it by force.
That's right.
There are things that the enemy may be holding away from you that God wants you to have. Right. And until you reach for the Word and believe the Word, and take it by force away from the enemy, he'll hold it like Goliath, and he'll laugh at you from day to day. But when you take authority in God's Word, you can have victory in every area of your life. And the area that the enemy said you will always be weak in, when you're weak, the Apostle Paul said that he will make you strong if you can depend on his grace. And so God wants you to be victorious in your life. But let's read this account real here. I don't want to take too much time. In the 17th chapter, I'll just skip on down here. It says, now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle. And they were gathered together at Shochoh, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shochoh and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. So there was a valley between their victory. There was a valley experience that they had to go through to gain the victory. And this was between them and what they needed. They needed this victory. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Understand this is 9 feet 9 inches tall. And by today's standards, that's still a very giant man. And this wasn't a skinny 9 foot 9. This was a bulky, muscular 9 foot 9 giant that was a warrior from his youth, that was skilled in the art of war, was agile, was quick, and had a booming voice that cried out each day. He was a man that no man wanted to take on. A man that was that had created great fear in the armies of the Israelites. And so this champion went out, 9 foot 9 inches tall. He had a helmet of brass upon his head. He was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. 125 pounds was his armor. I don't know if anybody would want to go into war wearing 125 pounds worth of armor. He just sink down and couldn't even pick up your sword. This was nothing for Goliath to put on 125 pounds of armor. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And the spear head weighed 600 shekels of iron, 15 pounds for just the head of the spear. And one bearing a shield went before him. The shield was so massive that he had an armor bearer that would carry the shield in front of him as he went out in the armor. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? In other words, why are you even here? Why is your army lined up here at all? Am I not a Philistine, and you are the servants to Saul? Choose you a man for me and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man and we will fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And reading on down to verse 16, it says, "And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days." 40 days. You know, 40 days, and the number 40 is a time of testing in the Bible. You see, Moses' life was broken into years, 40 years periods. There before he released them from bondage, his life in Egypt, and then he went out and then came back, and when he was 80 years old, and then they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And, you know, Jesus, there he went to be tempted of the devil for 40 days. And so we find this time of 40 throughout the Bible as a time of testing, a time of proving. When Jesus rose from the dead, he was with his disciples, teaching them the last things he needed to for 40 days. And then he ascended up for 10 more days into the day of Pentecost. So here was a time of proving. Here in verse 16 it says, he drew morning and evening and presented him for 40 days. And it seems like the devil, he will consistently come at you until you deal with him. You can't just say, "Well, I hope he will go away." But with boldness, he comes day by day during this testing and proving time of your life to see, are you ready to deal with the enemy head on, or is he going to try to push you around? And God does not want the saints of God to be pushed around by the devil. He does not want us in that position. He wants us to have authority. And so there was no one yet from all these armies that would take on this challenge. It seemed like a pretty good challenge, because why all this bloodshed? Why just take one man, take your best man, and come fight me, and we'll end this. If your army's so good, just take your best man. And then if he beats me, then we'll be your servants. If we win, you'll serve us. But the children of Israel are petrified by this. What if we lose? What if I embarrass myself? What if we come under bondage and become servants to the Philistines? They began to think fearful thoughts, and their minds were consumed with negativity. But there was someone else there that had come upon the scene, a young man named David. Reading in verse 20, it says, "And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to a trench as the host was going forth to fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up a champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel he has come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel." What a blessing that is to think, and on the spiritual side, if we can gain victory over the enemy and overcome our trials, that's right. God has got a blessing on the other side of that trial.
That's right. Amen.
And the Bible says, "Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not." But the enemy would like to get you to faint right during the time of trial, right when you're in that darkest hour. But as we sing that song, the darkest hour I ever did see was just before the day broke. And then when that day broke in my soul, I was happy soul and body. So you know that the enemy tries to attack us right in our darkest hour, but God knows that you're standing right before the greatest victory of your life. And so all these things were promised to him. And so David's thinking, that sounds pretty good. That sounds like pretty good. He wasn't fearful. And it says, "And David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killed the Philistine and take away the reproach?" And you know, I just think about the spirit of Caleb coming upon him when those 10 spies came back out and had a bad report. And they were saying, you know, there's giants in the land, but we're just grasshoppers in their sight. We're nothing. We can't accomplish anything. And you get this mentality when you're talking to people, well, this and that, it's negative. We'll never be able to do this and never be able to do that. But when they come to you and they ask you, what do you think? Do you think we'll be able to accomplish these things? Do you think we'll be able to grow as a church? Do you think we'll be able to build? You don't have to agree if everybody's being negative. What have you to say? I say, let us go up at once and possess it, for by God's power we're well able to overcome it. I imagine they looked at Caleb like, well, that's not what everybody else is thinking. But he had the Spirit of the Lord upon him. And David began to say, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Why does he stand in the way of your victory? Someone go out and fight him. I'll go out and fight him. I'm just a boy, but I've killed a lion and a bear, and I know how to use a slingshot. I'm fired up. Let's go do it. And so they're like, yeah, and you know, all these people were like, you can't do this. Why are you even doing here? Some of them said, aren't you supposed to be watching sheep? You know, what are they doing right now? Get out of here. And they tried to discourage him, but he wouldn't have it. And he went and talked eventually to Saul. Saul gave him his armor. He almost fell and collapsed, and he said, this is not proven. I don't need this. He went down to a brook, and he grabbed 5 smooth stones and precisely picked them out. You know, when we're getting ready to obtain victory in our lives, we need to pray. We need to meditate on the good things of God. We need to believe that God's getting ready to give us victory in this battle. And at some point in your life, you can say, well, the enemy's been pushing me around and pushing me around. He's been crying out day by day. But today's the day that I've had enough of, that I'm going to hold fast to the word of God and believe, and I'm going to get ready. I'm going to look down the brook. I'm going to find these stones of the word of God that he's given me, the 5 smooth stones, and I'm ready to go down into the valley. I'm ready to face Goliath, even if nobody else is. I'm ready to go down there and get the victory. And so he took those 5 smooth stones, and as he went and approached Goliath, mocked him. He said, what do you think I am? A dog here that you would come to me and bring this boy here? And he said, today I will feed your flesh to the birds and the fowls of the air. But that didn't stop David. You know, right before we're getting better, ready to get the victory, the enemy's going to bring his most vicious attacks. He's going to come and say, what are you doing trying to face me head on? You know, I'm going to obtain the, you know, I'm going to beat you and feed your flesh to the birds. You're not going to do anything with it. You're going to embarrass yourself. You're not going to have the victory. You're even talking to other people. You begin to tell people, you know, God's going to give me the victory. You begin to verbalize it and tell people, and you feel strengthened by that you're ready to face him. But as soon as Goliath said that to David, David responds in verse 45 and 46, from some of the most powerful verses in the Bible. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Yeah. Call him out and say, this is what you've been doing. It's against me, it's against the Spirit of the Lord, and it's against God's church, and I'm coming out against you this time. And I have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, to hold me together today. And say in verse 46, this day he defined it, he spoke it, he believed it by faith. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head with thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. We serve that same living God today, and we know what happened. He didn't say he just sheepishly kind of looked around and tried to run away from Goliath. It said he ran at him with confidence, took that one stone out of his pouch, began to go forward with one purpose in mind, focused. And that stone hit right where God targeted, sunk right into his forehead, knocked him down dead instantly. He didn't even have a sword, so he stood over Goliath. And I could just see the Israelite army going from fear to, this is great, amazing, I knew we could do it. Their hearts were filled with courage. It says that the Philistine army, their hearts sunk, and they were fearful all of a sudden. And David, to make an exclamation point, took the sword out of Goliath's sheath, the one that he said he was going to kill him with, and cut his head off, held it up to Israel, and they just went in and swarmed them. And it said they eventually spoiled their camp and gained the victory that day. So the enemy may be talking big, but when we use the weapons of our warfare, we cannot be defeated. We're guaranteed victory. Isaiah said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against thee, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is your heritage tonight. And I ask that when you pray, you remember.